Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our service of Holy Communion on this second Sunday before Lent. And we welcome everybody who is joining us today, and after a very stormy and wet week, we hope and pray that the peace of Christ will communicate itself to you as we share this service of Holy Communion together today. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking about the calling of one of Jesus' first disciples, the tax collector Levi, or Matthew. And we're going to be thinking about the implications of that call upon our own lives and our own church situation today. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. On Wednesday evening, our Alpha course will be continuing over Zoom. It's at 8 o'clock, and all are welcome. And on Thursday evening, the parish prayer meeting takes place at 7 o'clock. This is the time of the year as well when we open our register of vestry persons. And if you're not registered as a member of any other church and you'd like to be registered here in St. Finian's, the details of how to do so are in our parish magazine, on the church website, and on the church Facebook page. Our service next Sunday will be the service of morning prayer. And as we come together to worship God today, our opening hymn is a hymn that reminds us of all those reasons that we have to praise his name as we enter his presence. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great. And then forevermore.
Service today, the service of Holy Communion. We pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as we respond to God's forgiveness in our lives, we hear the canticle, Gloria, Gloria. Our special collect prayer for today, the second Sunday before Lent. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and your likeness in all your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns supreme over all things, now and forever. Amen. The epistle is written in the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, in the third chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hear the words of the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Mark in the second chapter, beginning to read at the 13th verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now we have the opportunity to invite the Lord's presence into our lives as we hear the hymn, "Here, O My Lord, I See Thee Face to Face."
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago online, I attended a seminar for church leaders all about leading through lockdown. And in that seminar, the presenter had identified three phases that churches need to go through. The first phase was the response phase. And I guess if we want to think about the response phase, that was when we all scrambled around in the early months, trying desperately to record services and to get our services online. And it was thought, I guess, that the response phase might be long completed by now. But the recurring lockdowns means that in real terms, we're probably still in that phase of response. And it's a phase that has been recognized as being pretty demanding in terms of energy and resources. And while the adrenaline carries us for a while, we can all get pretty exhausted as we try to figure out what is sustainable and what might work best in our particular context. But the next phase that was identified was a phase that was described as recovery, a time for people to come to terms with the events that are past. And just like many congregations around the world, here in our own parish family, we have lost greatly loved members of the parish to the virus. People are grieving the loss of things that are very dear to them in terms of, for example, being able to attend public worship or to attend groups or organizations that they've been part of for many years. And lots of people too in our parish family are exhausted by the demands placed upon them in terms of stewarding or cleaning or technology. People have given their all in terms of trying to sustain various activities when possible and when they're permitted. And there's a sense in which we all need to recover in God and replenish our physical and spiritual resources. And that leads into the third and perhaps the most challenging phase, which is rebuilding. And it's maybe about starting some things from scratch. Maybe it's about recognizing some things that haven't been working and trying to replace them with alternatives that might meet particular needs. And this third stage of the process is a stage that requires much prayer and wisdom and sensitivity so that we are all in tune with God's heart and his desires for his church. And for me, it's been interesting to reflect a little bit on these three phases in the light of today's gospel reading. We see in that reading that Jesus had been making quite an impact in the early days of his public ministry. People had been attracted and they had been moved by his teaching about the kingdom of God. And they wanted to experience his presence and his power in their lives as he offered them the chance to start afresh, to repent and to turn their lives back towards God and towards his love. But then as the opposition and the nervousness towards Jesus grew from the religious leaders of the time, we see that Jesus is driven out from the synagogue, and we actually get the first shadows of what lay ahead of Jesus in terms of the cross and people actually wanting his life as they felt threatened by him and by his teaching. But it's interesting for me that Jesus didn't let the opposition hold him back. Rather, the open air became his new pulpit as he traveled throughout the towns and villages, teaching by the lakeside and teaching wherever crowds might assemble. And on one such walk, we see him in today's gospel reading calling a very unpopular public figure, Levi, or he became known as Matthew, the gospel writer, the tax collector. And Levi was a man who had amassed a great fortune, but at great personal cost, because people hated him. They hated him because he charged them more than they needed to pay and then pocketed the rest. And he was associated with the hated Roman Empire. And there sat in his tax collector's booth one day, Jesus calls him very simply and directly to follow him. And it takes a big man to make a big decision. And many commentators reckon that Levi or Matthew was the disciple that gave up the most to follow Jesus, because he walked away from a position that guaranteed him a life of material comfort and a generous income. And he walked away from all of that and he followed Jesus. And he stands in marked contrast to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. And I guess the one person for whom Jesus can do absolutely nothing is the person who thinks himself so good that he does not need anything done for him. And the one person for whom Jesus can do everything is the person who is a sinner and a failure and who knows it and longs in his heart for a cure. And to have no sense of need is to have erected a barrier between us and Jesus, while to have that sense of need is to have the passport to his presence. And so, looking from the outside in, these Pharisees, they criticize the way that Jesus is eating with these tax collectors and sinners. And when we look at their attitude and we contrast it with the attitude of Levi, who, having received the gift of God's presence, wants very simply to invite all of his friends to come to his house and to receive something of what he himself has experienced. And to me, that's the totally beautiful thing about Jesus. He was always prepared to spend time with whoever needed or wanted to hear his message, whether they were good people or bad people, whether they were poor people or rich people. And Jesus, in this gospel reading, uses a metaphor about old and new wineskins to describe how our hearts, just like a wineskin, can become rigid and prevent us from accepting the new life that Christ offers us. And we're encouraged in this reading, just like new wineskins, to keep our hearts pliable and open in order to accept the life-changing truths of Christ. And in thinking about these three phases of response, recovery, and rebuilding in the church after the pandemic, I wonder, are there times in the church's history when We've simply tried to patch up and mend and adjust, when what's really needed is the abandonment of the old and an acceptance of something new altogether. And I know that these are not easy questions for any church, ourselves included, to consider. But something that I also know is that new life can be something we find very frightening. One of the great encouragements of this past year, when we've had to do so many things online, has been our online Alpha courses. And it's a beautiful thing to see people sharing and exploring their spiritual life together. And we have been privileged and blessed to welcome a number of people from outside the church altogether who are keen to join these groups. And while that is a totally lovely thing, to be honest, it also sometimes throws us into a bit of a panic. How do we assign people who we don't know into small groups when we don't know anything about them? How will they get on with everybody else? What if they think differently to us? And these are the sorts of things that concern us as we start to welcome new people into our midst. Whereas perhaps a better question to ask ourselves is, how can we enlarge our hearts simply to welcome and to accommodate, rather than just keep the church for the people that we know and believe to be just like us? And if the church is to rebuild, how can we equip and empower the people of God to be the ministers that they were called to be in their own context? How can we equip and enable people to share and to preach and to care and to be confident in their faith in the situations God has placed them in? These are all really, really important questions to think about as we look to the future with hope and with expectation. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Today we pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. And we pray for churches as they try globally to respond to this pandemic, to provide services online and via telephone, to stay in touch and to support those who may be vulnerable, and to offer prayer and support and practical help to those in our local communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, and today we pray for peace in Myanmar after weeks of tension and unrest. We pray too for a healing in the fragile relationship between the EU and Great Britain. And we pray for those in positions of leadership to take courageous steps to build trust and reconciliation, and to bring reassurances to those who are fearful. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And today we pray particularly for all who are struggling with their mental health in this difficult season. We pray for those wrestling with anxiety and depression and all the struggles around the uncertainties that lie before us. We pray too for all who are caring at home for loved ones with memory issues and all the frustrations that accompany that. And we want to just take a quiet moment now to bring before God any who are on our hearts or in our thoughts as we tune into this service today. We bring them into the healing presence of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Our next hymn is the hymn, "And Can It Be?"
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen." The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near today with faith and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. God, our Creator, by your gift the tree of life was set at the heart of the earthly paradise, and the bread of life at the heart of your church. May we who have been nourished at your table on earth be transformed by the glory of the Saviour's cross and enjoy the delights of eternity through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us for our service of Holy Communion today. And as our service draws to a close, our hearts are filled with praise in the words of our closing hymn, "When all thy mercies, O my God."